The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. For the most comprehensive industry news and information, visit our website at irei.com and sign up for our free daily news alerts.
Welcome to Author Spotlight. My guest is Rob Finley. He is the author of Beyond the Building: How to Use Innovation to Create and Grow Your Commercial Real Estate Portfolio. It is a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. Now, Rob Finley, who spends his time between Charlotte, North Carolina, and the Florida Keys, or somewhat in that area, he's an entrepreneur devoted to building companies that support and advance the commercial real estate industry. He's got an expertise in tech-enabled asset management and capital market services and solutions, which is why he wrote the book, which is very much what the book's about. He speaks from experience and insights, as well as being an owner of commercial real estate properties, as well as being an investor and an operator. He's been doing that for more than 20 years now. He's the founder and CEO of 30 Capital, an advisory investment and technology firm serving growth-minded operators and investors. And, you know, the first paragraph of the dust sleeve from his book says, with tens of thousands of commercial real estate firms competing for properties, investors, and tenants, how can your commercial real estate business stand a chance of competing? The key, according to seasoned CRE industry professional Rob Finley, is for your company to transform itself into a tech-enabled platform. You thought you were in the real estate business, listeners. Well, you might be in the technology business, actually, especially if you want to be successful at it. Rob Finley, welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me. Honored to be here.
Yeah, and congrats on the book. I think you may have just intimidated some people with that opening paragraph on the dust cover. Talk about being a tech-enabled platform or a tech-enabled real estate company. What's the overview on that?
Sure. So, you know, I think a lot of this, I step back a little bit. A lot of this comes from my past experience in the past 25 years of being involved in real estate, but also meeting real estate owners and operators who I've been able to see, the ones who have been really able to excel and the ones that maybe haven't been. And I was able to use this experience of working with them to garner some of this sort of this best advice. And what I've realized is that the companies that really stand out, and they have three sort of core emphasis. One is to create enterprise value. The second one is to differentiate themselves from the sea of tens of thousands of others like them, and to spot trends. All comes down to the same thing, is that they act differently. They act and operate differently. They operate more like a technology company whose product is real estate, as opposed to being a real estate company that's operated like a real estate company, because that's the way that granddad did it.
Gotcha. So, you know, the real estate business has a long and well-earned reputation as being a late adopter to technology. They resist it. In fact, residential real estate, they like their MLS listings. They didn't want to go digital at all. It's kind of like, we got a good game going here. Why mess it up? Well, as we've seen, technology is kind of the irresistible force. It just bleeds its way into everything. Do you think the business has changed these days? The real estate business has changed. Are they now amenable to the idea of adopting technology quickly, or do you still see a lot of resistance there?
Well, I think one of the things is that I need to point out to make sure that we're clear. To me, you know, sort of the framework that I talk about in my book is not necessarily technology, though technology is a part of it. This is more about innovation, thinking and doing things differently, right? So there's things in my book like we talk about OKRs, objectives and key results, which is a strategy sort of framework. That's not technology. You do that on a piece of paper. So I think it's important to make sure that people understand what I'm suggesting is innovate, not just necessarily technology. Back to that question, yes, I think a lot of real estate organizations have been slow to adapt to innovation and technology because quite frankly, for the past 10 years, it's been pretty easy, right? I come from this as my own. Unless you've had some, obviously we've had some curveballs, right? If you owned an office and you went through COVID, that's obviously a big change. But for the most part, with low interest rates, high demand, you really haven't had to change. Now people are forced to change, forced to innovate, forced to do things differently. And I think that's it comes down to time in the market.
Well, and I should say that as I look at the table of contents, it does not look overly tech driven. For example, some of the titles of the chapters are driven by data, leadership, planning, key performance indicators, employees, who is your customer, emerging firms, mid-market firms, corporate firms, and so on. So it does, a lot of it's analog. It's not all digital.
Right.
What you have to preach here. What about the title of the book? You call it Beyond the Building. The main title is Beyond the Building. What are you implying there?
So what I'm implying there is it's this is beyond, I think a lot of time real estate owners and operators focus on the real estate first and then their business second. And I want to change that. It's beyond just the building, it's how you operate your business that operates buildings. And I think that was the important distinction in the title. Come back to my same point. I want organizations to act more like technology companies whose product is real estate as opposed to real estate companies.
Flesh that out a little bit. If you're acting like a technology company whose product is real estate, take your average company out there. You've talked about this is how granddad did it. And there's a lot of people in the real estate business who the properties were passed along to them. They don't necessarily think in terms of educating themselves into, my father taught me this, or my granddad taught me this. This is the way it's operated. He was successful. During his era, he was successful. So I'm just going to carry this forward. And I don't do a lot of necessarily reading and learning about things. So take a company like that. What kind of transformation would go on in that company if that person was, say, to read your book, take it seriously, and then start making changes?
I think what they're going to notice is that there's three components, right? And I think the most important thing is to figure out is at first is what do you want to create, right? If you're the fourth generation and great 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 granddad started the business and you've got it and your kids are going to get it and you've got people running it, well, that's different. But if you are like many real estate firms out there, and I'm talking about mid-market, right? So, where you've started this business, you've had you've acquired several assets or multiple assets, you've got an investor base, but you need to figure out something, right? You've got to either grow or do something differently. This is a framework for you. This is the framework to get you into these legacy systems, because I think what people don't realize is great, great, great granddad had to do something differently in order for the business to make it to the next generation, right? So often we ask people, hey, if you didn't show up to work and you're the founder of the company, if you didn't show up tomorrow, what would happen? What would happen to your business? Is it just you within your real estate? So I think that's the big thing is first things first, get the reader to sort of figure out what do they really want to be? Do they want to be different? And that's the first question of the whole book. If they want to, then they can go through this framework. To the point of an analogy, think about this. You talk about real estate companies that are technology companies that act like whose product is real estate. Think about pizza, for example. I'd love to use the analogy of Domino's. Domino's, by all sense of this definition, Domino's is actually a technology company whose product is pizza. They'll be the first one to tell you that. So it's important to understand what do they do differently and how would you compare Domino's to your local mom and pop pizza place down the street?
So, what are the components, the technological components that you think are essential to running a successful real estate company that's not there in many cases?
Sure. Well, I think the technology is one part, right? So we did talk about this. So technology, data and analytics, right? So often it is a very confusing, very nebulous topic, right? Data and analytics, right? Getting data. And I put this back to this once again, painting the picture. If you look at historically back, back when I was younger, I wanted to go work on Wall Street. And back at that time, that was still early on where you actually had pit runners, right? So you look at, anybody wants to go look at old pictures, go look at old pictures of Wall Street. And I'm talking about the 80s here, so it's not that old, but where you would have two different traders. You would have a trader who has, four phones attached to his ear, and he's got runners trying to get information versus the trader who is implementing Bloomberg, which are these big terminals that you see nowadays when you look at a trading floor, and you've got a trader who's sitting in front of 35 monitors, right? Who would you rather work with, right? In today's day and age, I'd rather work with that person who's getting all this data and information in and making data-driven decisions versus the guy who's using their gut feeling. And that's what we're trying to get to today is using data and analytics is a way for you to be more competitively at a much more competitive advantage than those who do not. Because you're using the information that's put around you to make better decisions, to plan, forecasting interest rates, forecasting properties performance versus interest rates. These are things that would help people make better decisions.
Now, is it fair to say that people out there in the real estate business don't really need to be tech experts? They don't need to get a rack of equipment. What they need is to access the many services that are out there that provide this information or process the information that they've got. Is that accurate? Or how conversant do they personally need to be with the technology versus simply accessing technology that's there? And it will do the handle all the crunching for them.
Sure. So it comes down to the answer to that is how successful do they want to be? I think we can show strong empirical evidence that shows that the companies that are technology forward are more successful, have more deals, have had better performing deals than those who are not. To the question of how technically proficient does one have to be, they don't. They have to have a mindset and a willingness to adopt and embrace technology. And that to me is the biggest, that quite frankly is the biggest hurdle for most organizations is the mindset and the willingness to say, I want to be innovative. I want to embrace technology. We hear about these buzz terms, right? There's AI, there's BI, which is business intelligence, and there's ultimately HI, which is human intelligence. And I think so often you need all of those to be successful, to really create alpha, to really do a great job, you need to have all of those. So it all comes down to how much do you want to do? If you only want, if you know that if you do all three, you'll be very successful. So what do you want? Do you want to be two-thirds successful, one-third successful, right? So that's the way I look at it.
Now, chapter six of the book is called Who is Your Customer? Now, that implies that there's a lot of people who think they know who their customer is, but they're not actually on the mark. Is that the case?
I think that there's the analogy or the point that I try to make there in this chapter is I actually believe that enterprise value is the sum of all your customers, and all of your customers are actually many people. The customers are your employees. Your customers are your tenants or your residents. Your customers are your investors, your contractors, your lenders. All of these people are people or organizations that make up your entire company. And so for me, you need to know who they are, their wants, their needs, their fears, in order to appropriately engage with them, but at the same point, get them to be supporters of your business. I think this is, and people do this at different times, right? So when the market was crazy, and in the multifamily space, you're working brokers, right? Calling brokers, trying to develop relationships with brokers and because you want to see the deals. Now it's okay, well, now I need to know who are the equity sources out there, who are the people? And I'm saying you need to know all of these people all the time and prioritize how you work with them.
You mentioned gut instinct earlier, and there are people who have been successful with gut instinct. They have a real knack for it. But are you suggesting that there's no role for gut instinct, or are you saying your gut instinct is going to be much more accurate if it is backed by empirical data, accurate empirical data that you have to as a foundation?
Yeah, what I'm saying is yes, you have to still use human intelligence, right? Or gut instinct. I like to use it as human intelligence, right? You're not just going, your gut's not saying something. It's based upon your brain intaking information and saying, boy, based on this, I feel like it's going to be a good deal, or it's a bad deal, or this is a great property or not a great property. What I'm saying is you need to use human intelligence. But you are far superior in utilizing your human intelligence and can make better decisions if you are incorporating technology and advances in technology, such as artificial intelligence and business intelligence, using that information to make these decisions will make you much more powerful, much more powerful.
Give us an example of where artificial intelligence can be used to an advantage for a real estate company.
I think it's advantage. There's a couple parts to this. One is there's a lot of misnomers in artificial intelligence, but I think one of the easy ways that people can find benefit from AI is taking information and taking tasks that are administrative in nature and using them to expand. So, for example, investor reporting, right? You wanted to write a market summary or a census review. Why go and create that, right? You can go to ChatGPT, say, describe this market to me, or describe the census. What's the growth? What's the unemployment rate? And getting information to do that. I think there's a lot of things too that we use for AI is to help create content. It's proven that if you're trying to engage a certain audience, so for example, you're trying to engage investors and get more investors, well, you need to produce content that will attract investors. And ChatGPT is an easy way to create content to help get new investors and more investors.
Especially since so many people are they just don't they don't like to write. They're not good at it. It's exhausting for them. It really is a godsend for people who they want to create some content, but they don't want to have to piece together every phrase and sentence and paragraph. So there you have it. So it sounds like there's three major components that you're emphasizing: artificial intelligence, business intelligence, and human intelligence, that anybody who's running a real estate company should be thinking in terms of, do I have these components in place, and are they solid? Do I have smart people? Do I have the right business information? And am I using artificial intelligence to augment the things that I'm doing?
Right.
Not that not that that's the extent of it, but those are three big components, it sounds like, from a tech. Well, not entirely technological standpoint, because human intelligence is a little different.
But human intelligence is taking these points. So, for example, just to give it as a practical, right? We do this all the time in our own real estate portfolio. We use business intelligence to track and monitor and graph and visualize and analyze all this data that comes in, right? So properties generate a lot of data, right? Rent rolls and delinquency reports and leasing schedules and all this stuff. So we take all of this information in, and because there's so much data, an asset manager can't review it all, right? You have to, so we create this business intelligence that is visualizing and analyzing major metrics and major, all this data together, and it's producing key performance indicators, it's creating graphs, it's creating charts, triage tables, all these kinds of things that we can now use to consume all of this data. And now that we can consume this data, we can say, okay, well, what do we do now? And this is where the human intelligence comes in. What if I increased rents? What if I put $500,000 into this property renovated 100 units, whatever it is, and I was able to get $50 a month for it. What would that do? And this is where automating this whole process of human intelligence is where we have in our own company right now. We run scenarios on the fly. We have it all automated. It's all part of our system. So we're getting this information from our business intelligence tools, from asset management. Our asset managers are running asset level scenarios. What if we did this? Or, oh, geez, we just got our insurance bill. Oh, no. What happens now? And we take that information and now we run it through these systems that we have that can now produce, is our debt appropriately optimized? What happens when our loan goes from amortizing or from interest only to amortizing? How does this impact our cash positions? How does this impact our valuations? What happens when our caps are coming due on our hedging? These are the things that the human intelligence part of it is doing. We're using technology to augment all of these scenarios because, quite frankly, we don't have enough time in the day to run these scenarios and make any sense of it.
Okay, so you've explained a lot of this, Rob, but to the earnest reader who gets a copy of your book, reads it carefully, what should be the key takeaways from the book in the end?
The key takeaways are that this is a framework to put in place. And the last three chapters of the book are specifically geared for what sort of stage are you in, right? Are you a smaller operator, have a couple of properties, mid-size and large? And what it does is it says, here's how you apply this framework. Starts with me, the leader. And ultimately, when I go through this framework, I should be able to see the path at the end of this. That I will be able to create real enterprise value. That means if I walk out the door, I have something to sell other than my individual assets. The second part is they're going to be able to put strategies in play that will be able to help them differentiate themselves from the rest of the people out there. Mid-markets is one of the most competitive. There's tens of thousands of companies out there. All competing for investors, all competing for equity, all competing for debt, all competing for deals. There will be a path to differentiate yourself in that market so you can find those opportunities, you can be successful. And then finally, the last part is they're going to be able to use this information to synthesize a bunch of data to be able to see trends and spot opportunities all around them. And so it's a very powerful thing just by opening it up and being a little bit more flexible and a little bit more open to change and innovation.
My guest has been Rob Finley. He is the author of Beyond the Building: How to Use Innovation to Create and Grow Your Commercial Real Estate Portfolio. Rob, congratulations on the book. It's a Wall Street Journal bestseller, and I appreciate you taking the time to come on the program.
Sounds good, Mike. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you.